And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Viewer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this preview edition of GGR as we look at the Miami of Ohio Redhawks of the MAC Conference. Luke, how are things going for you on a Thursday evening?
They're going well, Ryan. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. They are sponsoring this season of Gopher Gridiron Radio. If you're not a part of the Goal Line Club, we would encourage you to do that. I am a member. It's great to be a part of. It's a low introductory fee of $100. That gets you in for the whole season. Again, you can even renew a Goal Line Club membership with your season tickets. If you want to be a part of it, go to goallineclub.org. Everything's there, from registering for an event to signing up to be a part of it. So we definitely encourage you to do so.
Absolutely. Great place to be. And for those of you who listened to our advice and signed up for the GLC tailgate this Saturday before the Miami of Ohio 2:30 kickoff, I can tell you that I'll be there, I think, around noon before my KFAN / other media responsibilities kick in. So if you guys are going to be there early, I'll be there at the tailgate.
Awesome. That'll be great. So Miami of Ohio, I believe Redbirds, correct? Famous for Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know if there are any other notable alumni in football, but they've had their share of good quarterbacks, while the Gophers maybe haven't had their share in the last 50 years. But let's get into it, Ryan. Depth chart wise, we play this fun game: is the depth chart accurate or not? What does it look like this week?
I am still absolutely beside myself that Minnesota has accurate.
It's got to be because of sports betting, right?
It has to be because we've been complaining about it for seemingly 4 years now, and on the interwebs and on Gopher Illustrated and on the Twitter machine, that the depth chart they've put out for 4 years has been about 60% accurate, which is failing according to my University of Minnesota education. Now, yeah. Luke didn't think that's failing, because you always talk about
the curve.
Yeah, it's grading on a curve, you Carlson kids, and you're how like a 70 is an A.
Wait, no. College of Science and Engineering.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're one of those privy kids while I was in CEHD.
Whatever. Anyways. But, okay, yeah, so in years past, not great, not really helpful, now seemingly helpful.
It is helpful. So when you look at the depth chart, you're able to see it's essentially accurate. I mean, we got to get into a running back discussion here a little bit, Luke, because I've gotten a ton of questions on Twitter. I've got a ton of questions on Gopher Illustrated about what do you see from the running back position here until November, essentially, when Shannon Brooks will be coming back. I think we've talked about, or at least I've talked about on Gopher Illustrated in this podcast, that that's always been the plan, folks. When the new redshirt rule got introduced, whether it was over the summer or I forget when it was, but once that went into effect, Minnesota and Rodney Smith both looked at each other and was like, hey, I'm ahead of my rehab. I'm going to be able to play.
And you mean like, Shannon Brooks, right?
Yeah, Shannon Brooks, not Rodney Smith. I apologize if I said Rodney Smith.
But that's a kind of a touchy subject, Ryan.
It always is. So, again, Shannon has always been planning on playing in these four games since the rule went into effect, and he'll be playing in games starting in November. He just got into individual somewhat contact drills this week. Now, I know some folks on GI are clamoring for him to play against Iowa in 3 weeks' time. I would not imagine that's going to be the case. He's going to have to go through at least a few weeks of practice with contact for him and him to just build up the confidence to want to play and be confident in playing. But when you look at this week specifically, when you look at the Miami, Ohio depth chart for Minnesota anyway, you see that Bryce Williams is still at the top. You still have Jonathan Femi-Cole there. And then you also see Nolan Edmonds added to that list. So if I was going to be, I was a gambling man, which I am, I would still say that Bryce Williams is likely going to get 25 plus carries again this week. I think he is going to be your bell cow back, and he's going to be someone that is going to be getting a lot of touches this week. I think Jonathan Femi-Cole is probably your guy that's going to be coming in on third down. And then it is worth mentioning that Nolan Edmonds, the true freshman from Georgia, is going to be, well, he was elevated from the practice squad, aka the scout team, to the actual team this week. PJ Fleck mentioned that in his press conference this past week. So you're likely potentially going to see all three of those guys get touches. I think the only scenario that I can really see Nolan Edmonds contributing in is if Minnesota gets a big lead and they don't want to give Jonathan Pemicola touches and they want to use one of Nolan Edmonds' four games. So, again, for this week, I still think it's going to be the Bryce Williams show with Pemicola intermixed, and we'll see if we get anything from Nolan Edmonds. But I do think it is going to be a lot of Bryce Williams for the next probably 6 weeks as Minnesota tries to figure out which is the best way to go at running back now that Ronnie Smith is no longer an option.
All right, so I guess we probably should address any other injuries. You know, we've had some in the defensive backfield that have kind of at least impacted. You know, we saw a lot of Coney Durr, which we maybe didn't expect. But out of curiosity, you know, any other injuries that we should be aware of going into this game?
I don't think so. I think Keandre Thomas, Minnesota's CB1, their starting corner alongside Terrell Smith, is the only one I'm going to be monitoring. We didn't really get an injury update during the week on Keandre Thomas's progress. You remember that he went out in the second quarter of the Fresno State game, never returned. And Coney Durr, you'll remember him from the 2016 bowl game against Washington State, played one half, tore his ACL, tried to come back last season, never really believed that he was 100% Coney, in my opinion, mentally. And that's been the biggest hurdle for Mr. Coney Durr. Is now that he's played the last two and a half quarters and he's played well, I think that is going to do wonders for his confidence, and it should do wonders for Rob Smith's confidence, knowing that you have a serviceable backup that can come in and play as well as Coney Durr did. I'm well aware, we broke it down, that he gave up the only real touchdown to really worry about from the Fresno State game, but Keandre Thomas is essentially the only thing I'm watching. I think everybody else is, for the most part, healthy outside of Minnesota's two best offensive players, so it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota decides to proceed offensively now that you're looking at a very, very young offense.
Yeah, we've called it, you know, maybe not correctly, but we have called it the freshman offense, where, you know, last game your leading passer was a true freshman, your leading rusher was a true freshman, and I believe your leading receiver was also a true freshman. So we knew we were young. We really just know that we're young.
They're very young, and including your leading tackler on the team through two games, alert, small sample size, is also a true freshman. So everywhere you look, true freshmen are contributing offense, defense, not necessarily special teams, a ton, even though there are three true freshmen on kickoff that are likely going to see their red shirts burned at this rate. That is Moundsview's Max Janes, and that is defensive backs Benny Sapp III and Jordan Howden.
Okay. Let's get into offense and talk a little bit about what we expect the Gophers to do on offense, especially since we're seeing, you know, the departure of Rodney Smith. I don't know, does the identity change? You know, he was such a focal point of the offense. Everything game plan wise maybe revolved around him. This is going to be the first week where they've had a week to plan for this. I'm maybe not expecting that we're going to see a lot of Seth Green Wildcat again, like they basically went to that because, you know, they ditched the game plan. But what are you kind of expecting? We're going to throw the ball a little bit more. I know you said Bryce Williams is going to be that bell cow back, but identity-wise, what should we expect?
It's going to be interesting. You mentioned it, Seth Green. It surprises me how many tweets I've gotten from fans saying, hey, are we going to see Seth Green as a full-time running back? My answer to that in the nicest way possible is, have you ever seen a 6'5", 250-pound running back in any level of competitive football in the collegiate and or professional level? Luke, can you answer that question for me?
No, I really can't.
You're still going to see the Wildcat with Seth Green, but you're not going to see like Zach Anix did and then Seth Green right next to him taking handoffs. That's not going to happen. That's what Bryce Williams, Jonathan Pemicola, and Nolan Edmonds are four. But offensively, it is going to be interesting because Minnesota really struggled to run the ball last week. Now, again, Luke likes to talk about small sample sizes. I agree with him. When you look at Minnesota's advanced statistical profile, thanks to SB Nation, it is only two-game sample size. Now, two of six, I believe, is somewhere around 16%. So it's some data. It's not a lot of data. Maybe it's not accurate data, but it is worth mentioning. Minnesota's offensive line, in terms of opening up offensive running lanes for the running backs, is a bottom 15 unit in the country right now. They haven't, and that's against New Mexico State and Fresno State. That's not great in terms of when you look forward and project it out to Maryland, Iowa, in the rest of the October Big Ten games, which we'll get to at a later date. But I really want to see what the offensive line is able to do, because Miami of Ohio, 0-2 so far, lost home games to Marshall and Cincinnati. They got shut out at home last week against that Cincinnati team, 21-0. But it's this defense for Miami that is very senior and junior laden, I should say, upperclassmen laden. I mean, there's a lot of juniors and seniors on this defense. There's not a lot of inexperience there, but in that same breath, at home, they've given up 21 points and 35 points. So this is a Minnesota offensive line that I hope is able to put together a much better performance on the ground. I think they've been above average in terms of pass protection, but this front five for Minnesota, and specifically guys like Sam Schluter and Connor Olson, really need to have a better performance than what they showed last week, in my opinion. But the great opportunity is each and every Saturday they have an opportunity to change their best.
Yeah.
So offensively, it is going to be interesting, because I do think Minnesota is likely going to throw the ball 30 to 33 times. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit more than that, because just of how inefficient Minnesota's running game has been. Now, some of that is on Bryce Williams. Fleck talked about it at his weekly press conference that in the first half, Bryce was kind of running with his eyes down. He wasn't being the guy they recruited him to be. And then in the second half, when he was able to really start to, you know, adjust to the speed of the game, kind of have things slowed down for him, that's when you saw him break off some bigger runs. So the hope is that Bryce Williams is ready. He's going to keep his eyes up, and he's going to be that. What we talked about when he signed was, I thought that Bryce Williams had the potential to be, and early on in his career, an early version of Shannon Brooks. Now, Shannon, I think, was a very, very confident runner early in his career, and that's something I don't think you see from a lot of running backs, Bryce Williams included here so far. But it is going to be something to monitor in terms of what is the run-to-pass ratio. I think Minnesota is really going to want to establish the run here. Again, they need to have this offensive line start to make some steps forward. But in that same respect, Minnesota's offense is also going to have to start to complete some down-the-field throws, because they've only completed one on the season. I think they've taken 14, 15 shots. It's only 7, 8% success rate down the field, and that's going to have to change, because I think early on in this game, Miami of Ohio is just going to load the box and say, hey, Zach Gannick's did. Prove that you can complete some down-the-field passes, because that's what I would do if I was a opposing defensive coordinator for the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. So do you see it any differently for Minnesota's offense, Luke?
No, I think that it'll be more balanced. I mean, and they just have more weapons than we have seen in the past, right? I still am interested to see how they can start to wrinkle in the tight end position. That's right now, other than the Kokeef catch, you know, they really haven't wrinkled in the tight end much. I'm curious to see if they find a way to get Seth Green, who is, you know, now is technically a wide receiver. I just view him more as an athlete.
It's still mind-boggling. Seth Green has 4 touchdowns to me. He doesn't even have a target yet.
Yeah.
I think that changes this week. Have to believe that changes this week, that Minnesota has to show, especially with Big Ten play coming up next weekend, that Seth Green is more than a Wildcat quarterback, that he also can go make plays in the air.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that I'm curious to monitor is, you know, when I look at the statistics for Miami of Ohio on the season, you know, this is a squad that by far throws the ball more than they run the ball, right? They actually hardly run the ball at all. But, you know, I haven't watched them, so I'll be completely honest. I don't know what kind of pace they play with, but it's going to be hot, dude. And I think that the heat very likely might dictate how Minnesota tries to play this game. If they try to slow it down, maybe more than normal, maybe even a la Jerry Kill, where like you're basically just bleeding the clock as much as possible. I'm curious to see how they play it with this heat.
That is a great point, and something we didn't mention in the opener is, for those of you who don't know anything about Saturday's forecast yet, the forecasted high as of Thursday afternoon/evening, it's going to be 90 degrees with a heat index of 95 at kickoff.
Yeah.
It is the middle of September. It is bow opener for deer. and it's 90 degrees. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be in a tree stand Saturday morning when it's 90 degrees out and humid. Like, what is this weather? I love the fall because I love 60s and 50s And I love to just, it's like sweatshirt weather, Luke. I thrive in sweatshirts and right. shorts. That is my go-to for essentially 3 months. And now we are the middle of November, or no, middle of September.
Yeah.
It is bow opener for my beloved white-tailed deer, and it is going to be 90-plus degrees out. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
So when you look at how that translates to the field, Luke mentions it. I mean, I expect it to be a little bit, I guess, sludgy would be the word in terms of how the offenses play early on because of how hot it's going to be. You hope that Fleck and staff have this team conditioned the way that they need to because it's going to be hot. It's going to be sunny, and it's not going to be great for in terms of what the weather conditions are going to be for a team that is now in their third week of the season in the Big Ten. So it is going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. So when we look at when the Gophers are on defense, you know, this is, like I said already, this is a Miami of Ohio squad. I don't know if this is a function of, you know, how the games have played out now that they've lost twice, but they seemingly throw the ball quite a bit more than they have run the ball. Curious to see if that's what we expect to see from their identity coming in. And, you know, the Gophers haven't really had a foe try to run the ball against them all that much so far this season. You know, statistically, they're doing a lot better against the run. But then again, that's not really anybody's identity that they've played thus far.
No, and when you look at this Gopher defense, they're not going to be tested likely once again in terms of in the running game because of how anemic that Miami of Ohio's running offense has been. I talked about how inefficient Minnesota's offensive line has been against the run. Miami of Ohio has been worse. They have a opportunity rate in the running game, according to SB Nation, of 1/17 out of 128. So they're a bottom 12 offensive line unit in terms of opening up running lanes for their running back. Luke mentioned it. I believe that the senior quarterback for Miami of Ohio has had to pass it over 40 times in both games because the running game has been so atrocious. Now, I don't exactly imagine that Miami is going to come in here and be able to magically run the ball after they weren't able to do it twice at home against quote-unquote worse opponents to start the year. I think Minnesota would probably be able to take Marshall and Cincinnati here at this stage, but this is a Gopher defense that we still, going into Big Ten play next week, Luke, are likely going to have zero idea if they can stop the run yet. Now, they've looked good against the run here so far.
Right.
They shut down a Fresno State running game essentially from the word go last week. But I don't even know that Maryland will be a huge test against the run. I'm much more worried about their skill position players on the outside. So we're going to be looking at 3-4 weeks from today when Iowa or next on that Saturday that Iowa comes to town at home. It's going to be the test that if Minnesota can stop the run. But with this Miami team, running game wise, I'm not tremendously concerned. Where I am a little bit concerned is James Gardner.
Yeah.
He is the receiver to know from Miami of Ohio, leads the team in targets, leads the team in total yards. Someone that is a big play threat, someone that PJ Fleck tried to out recruit Chuck Martin at Miami of Ohio. But Miami was able to get James Gardner over PJ Fleck at Western Michigan at that time. James Gardner, now as a senior, is 6'4", 215 pounds, has one of the biggest ADOTs in all of college football, average depth of target. So what does that mean? That means that when they target James Gardner, he's going deep.
Yeah.
And he's able to get behind the defenses, and that's going to be something for if Keandre Thomas is out, Terrell Smith and Coney Durr better be ready that he's likely not, if you see something short, be ready for him to counter out of that. So whether it's a hitch and go, whether that's some kind of a post corner, an out and up, something that this Minnesota defense really has to keep an eye on, Luke.
Yeah, Ryan, let's get into, on defense, you know, the defensive backfield, I guess from my perspective, they've done better than expected. Part of it with an infusion of talent. They're still not really deep. Terrell Smith has been a pleasant surprise. I thought that Jacob Huff probably played his best game as a Gopher, maybe arguably as a Gopher last game against Fresno State. But am I in the minority here thinking that they're playing well, or is this basically what you're seeing as well?
I don't know that Jacob Huff played his best game as a Gopher overall. I think it was likely Jacob Huff's best game.
Maybe best tackling.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be very comfortable in saying that because we mentioned it once again on the Breakdown podcast on Monday that Jacob Huff's tackling in space saved 8-yard gains turning into 58-yard gains. And the tape would tell you that that always had not been the case with Jacob Pupp. So he changed his best, and he was able to put a good performance on tape here last week, and he's going to have to continue that here going forward. But it is interesting, Luke, you mentioned it. Jameel Adai, the new defensive back coach. I know a bunch of Gopher fans have been worried about the Gopher secondary since Jay Sovell left. Well, this is still all Jay Sovell guys outside of Terrell Smith. You still have Coney Dirk, Keandre Thomas, Jacob Huff, Antoine Winfield, and Jameel Adai seemingly has been able to get the best out of them. He's also been able to get Terrell Smith up to speed and playing very well as a true freshman. So I do think Jameel Adai deserves some credit there. But Minnesota's defensive secondary, I mean, it still is peculiar to me last week that what teams saw on tape was that Keandre Thomas was the superior corner to Terrell Smith. Because Fresno State's game plan, we talked about it, was to pepper Terrell Smith early. They barely even threw a Keandre Thomas, if at all, when he was in the game for the first 25 minutes of it. So that would still tell me that opposing offensive coordinators, when they look at this Gopher defense, still believe that Terrell Smith is the one that they need to test, not necessarily Keandre Thomas, who had a below average game against the pass in game one, got hurt in game two. So it'll be interesting to see what the game plan is for Miami of Ohio, because we mentioned it. They've thrown 87 times through two games. So you're looking at somewhere on 42 plus times a game. They're going to throw it early and often. In which corner or which defensive back are they going to pepper? Is it going to be Antonio Chenault from the slot this time? Are they going to continue to pick on Terrell Smith? But Luke, I do agree. But overall, for the most part, this Gopher secondary is playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, pleasant surprise. Let's talk real quickly about the Goal Line Club once again. You know, often people ask, you know, being that I'm a Goal Line Club member myself, you know, where does my membership fee go and how does it help Gopher football? So one thing I want to stress is that it only helps Gopher football. So if you want to make sure that you can help Gopher football in a meaningful way, joining the Goal Line Club is probably the most direct way that you can impact, you know, monetarily the football team. And one of the ways that that's been done is actually touches really close to the work you do, Ryan, in recruiting, right? They were able to give money that went directly towards a recruiting room in the new Athletes Village.
They were something that I've had a chance to see, something that you've had a chance to see. It's a significant upgrade over what the previous staff we had. I believe this is the same area that I'm thinking of when I was able to take a tour there, that I've heard from multiple recruits, like, this is the place that they love to hang out before, you know, the staff whisk them away to go do something in terms of academics or whatever their visit is. On every seemingly official visit and probably most of the unofficial visits, they bring them to this recruiting room. It's like a big man cave for someone like me. I mean, you can go shoot hoops on, like, the – trying to think. Like, if any time you go to an arcade, they have, like, the two hoops side by side. You have 60 seconds, and you have to outscore your buddy. Or they have, like, air hockey. They have a bunch of arcade games. There's big TVs where the kids can play Fortnite or 2K or whatever it may be. It's just kind of an area that they can go in and relax, whether that's the recruits, whether that's the players. That's something that the Goal Line Club had a big part of. And, again, with that $100 membership – that is just a drop in the bucket compared to other national and other Big Ten programs. So you've heard us talk about the tailgates, which are $35 for members, $45 for non-members, includes food, all you can eat, an open bar, all you can drink. And then we talked about Tunnel Team as well, and I hope you guys were able to take advantage of that. I hope that you guys did sign up and then you tweet me some of the pictures from the Tunnel Team. It's $10 for member or non-members alike. You can help cheer on the team in the tunnel as they walk from the locker room to the field, especially if you have children that you want to have an experience that they'll never forget. I can probably assure you that Tunnel Team would be a great way to go. So for all this, head on over to goalineclub.org.
All right, Ryan, let's get to your keys of this game. You know, before we do that, I just want to highlight, you know, some of the point spread, etc. So in this game, going into this game, Miami of Ohio is 0-2. Against the spread. The Gophers are actually 2-0 against the spread. That is unique. Again, very early. The Gophers are a 13.5 favorite right now with an over-under of 46. It is a 2:30 kickoff on BTN. As we've already noted, it's going to be a hot one. Kickoff will probably be in the higher to middle 80s with a heat index somewhere in the 90s. It'll probably cool down a little bit as the sun goes down, but it is going to be a sweltery game. So dress accordingly. So Ryan, what are your keys to the game?
First and foremost, Minnesota needs to win in the trenches, and this was my number one key from last week. Minnesota's offensive line, we talked about it, really struggled to open up any sort of holes for their young ball carriers after Roddy Smith went down, to the tune of 40 carries that went for under an average of 3 yards a carry. So that's not elite. The Gophers will face front seven this week. That isn't nearly as stout as what the Fresno State Bulldogs provided to be last week. So if they're going to change their best as an offense, it is going to have to happen this week. So with a true freshman quarterback, a starting true freshman running back in his first career start, and a plethora of freshmen at the skill position players, this is an offensive line that's going to have their best overall performance of the season to date, especially if Minnesota's going to win this game by double digits. So guys like Sam Schluter, Blaze Andres, Jared Weiler, they're going to have to be able to change their best against a MAC team that's going to be going to TCF Bank Stadium in a very hot and humid environment for their first road game of the season. So I'd love to see if Minnesota is able to get a step in the right direction in the trenches. Number two would be the downfield passing game. I mentioned it. It's been a work in progress, to put kindly. Freshman quarterback Zach Anixted has struggled on those throws through two games. He's only one of 10-plus attempts thus far. In the calling card all camp, I'll continue to stress this, and that's why it's a little bit peculiar to me and people close to the Gopher coaching staff, is how inaccurate that Zach Anixted has been on these deep throws, because the calling card during fall camp was how accurate he was on these deep throws. So Minnesota has the targets in Rashad Bateman, Tyler Johnson, Chris Ottman-Bell, Seth Green even. So Anixted's going to have to prove that he can complete these seven-step drops or these five-step drops out of shotgun. So when teams start to stack the line, which I think they're going to start to do here this week, Minnesota can prove that they can move the ball through all three levels of the passing game. Anixted has shown he can do it in the short to intermediate game, especially if he has time and stands in the pocket. Now he's got to be able to complete some of those down the field passes, especially hopefully to guys like Rashad Bateman or Chris Ottman-Bell this weekend. And then finally, Minnesota's got to start fast, because Miami of Ohio has been dreadful to start games to start the year so far. They have totaled in the first half of two games through four quarters, 7 points. Both of those games were at home. So Minnesota, on the other hand, has scored a total of 45 points in the first half through two games. So the Gopher staff and the Gopher fans have to be optimistic about this, but this is a Gopher offense that has struggled to start the games. The opening script for Kirk Shiraka's squad, I mean, you talk about it, all of you listening, you're elite football fans, you know the game of football. And the opening script is something that most teams, more than likely, they have a set of, you know, 10 to 15 plays that the offensive coordinator scripts out so that he can get a read for what the defense is going to give him. Well, Minnesota's offense is going to have to execute on this script, because Minnesota on the first half the first drive of the four halves. So the first drive of the first quarter, the first drive of the third quarter of both games has resulted in 0 points and four punts. So that's when, again, you should be able to execute on things, and Minnesota has not been able to. So Minnesota's got to be able to start fast at home. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. But they have to start fast and get that seed of doubt creeping into that Miami of Ohio Red Hawk team that's already 0-2.
All right. So when we look at predictions, I think looking back, I'm currently 1-1. I think you're 2-0 on predictions right now. I had the Gophers losing the last game against Fresno State.
You don't have the faith.
You don't have the faith.
I'm going to pick Minnesota to likely lose more games than they win here the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But Luke, come on, my man.
I guess.
Come on.
So you're 2-0. I'm 1-1. Going into this game, I believe in our preview edition, we both picked the Gophers to win. I'm going to stick with that. I think the Gophers will win 31-17. And to your point, I think it'll be because they get off to a fairly quick start. Hopefully they can find a way to continue to keep the turnovers low. Thus far, Zach Anixted is without a turnover without an interception. He does have a fumble.
I do think Anixted throws a pick this week. Right. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Offensively, it's Zach Anixted throws a pick. because he's gotten away with some things here thus far. And then defensively, I think this Gopher defense has some kind of a touchdown.
All right.
Anyways.
I like it. So, yeah, I got 31-17 Gopher victory.
I have Minnesota 28, Miami of Ohio 13. Ah. I think the weather is going to play an issue. As I mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if these teams offensively don't get a lot going early on just because of how hot and humid it is. But I do think that this game is close at half once again, especially with a true freshman quarterback, a true freshman starting running back, a plethora of skilled position players that are all underclassmen, and three of your five offensive linemen are underclassmen. So there's still some lumps that are going to be knocked in here. But as I said, I think that as this game gets into the second half, I think this Minnesota offense is able to find some things. And I think this Gopher defense stands tall all game long. Minnesota 28, Miami of Ohio 13. Minnesota is 3-0, leaving the non-conference, heading to Maryland next week.
All right. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, as the usual, if you could rate and subscribe to the podcast, that is appreciated. Also, Ryan, big news for the podcast. You can now listen to Gopher Gridiron Radio on Spotify. If that is your, I don't know, media streaming platform of choice. You can also listen on Google Podcasts as well as iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. We're basically everywhere.
If you have a podcasting app at this point and you're not subscribed to us on it, I don't know why you continue to click my links on the Twitter machine. It is so much easier to just whatever. If you have an Android, if you have a Google Pixel, if you have an Apple phone, no matter what you have, I think the easiest way to probably get it reliably into your inbox is to probably just subscribe on whatever podcasting form. We're on everything now. So, and once you do it, if you want to rate us, that'd be pretty neat too. And then if you do, screenshot us, send us a question. We'll answer it here on air. But for Luke, for myself, we will talk to you guys next week, hopefully after another Golden Gopher football victory. Go Gophers.